们给安子里人和谢尼安们就是拉开这个修的你的长年的他是没去过的
His friends and relatives, the foremost of whom was Krishna, is both his friend and his relative. Relatives are not always friends, but in this case, Krishna was the very close friend of Arjuna. Krishna similarly loved Arjuna. Therefore, one of Krishna's names given here in first canto of Bhagavatam by Kunti Devi, one of Krishna's names is Krishna Sakha, means the friend of Krishna. Krishna here referring to Arjuna, because Krishna, Arjuna, one of his names is also Krishna, due to the somewhat blackish form. So, Krishna was known as Krishna Sakha. Shri Krishna, Krishna Sakha, Vishni, Vishabhana, Vidruk. That prayer is there in Kunti addressing Krishna. As Krishna, Krishna Sakha, the deliverer of the Vishnu dynasty from all problems. So many names she gave to Krishna. So Arjuna is known as the friend of Krishna. That is his great good fortune. He is known as the friend of Krishna. Arjuna had so many designations and qualities. He was known as a great fighter. He satisfied even Lord Shiva in fighting, as a result of which Lord Shiva gave him his Pashupati Astra, this one particular kind of weapon. He was known as the dear son of Indradev, and who, at the behest of Indradev, had destroyed the Nivata Kavacha demons, who otherwise the demigods were not able to defeat, but Arjuna, on behalf of the demigods, defeated them. He is known as a very moral person, even though he was requested by Urvashi to fulfill her lusty desires. He refused, considering her to be just like his mother, as a result of which he cursed him to become a eunuch. So Arjuna, from the very beginning of his life, was known, he was very famous as having so many good qualities. Of course, he was from a very noble family, being the son of Maharaj Pandu, younger brother of the great king Yudhishthira, descendant of Bharat Maharaj, Kuru, great, coming in the exalted dynasty. But still, the most important point about Arjuna, so many points, Dhanadhara, famous wielder of the bow, his famous Gandiva weapon. But above all of these qualities, and the source of all these qualities, is that he's the friend of Krishna. More important to Arjuna than his name and fame is that he is attached to Krishna. He's not attached to name and fame. He's attached to being the associate, the friend of Krishna. And Krishna wanted that the Pandavas be exalted. The battle of Kurukshetra was fought to put Yudhishthira Maharaj on the throne. That was Krishna's idea. So Krishna wanted to see that his devotees were exalted. Of course, Krishna deals with different devotees in different ways. Bali Maharaj was already exalted, but Krishna wanted to remove his exalted position to test Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, of course, passed the test. He showed that as a true devotee, more important than his exalted position, more important than satisfying his relatives, was to surrender to Krishna. And Krishna, having seen that he successfully passed the test, gave him a more exalted position. So Arjuna is a very great friend of Krishna. Friendship, of course, the Mayavadis, they decry all kinds of friendship. They think that material relationships, they're simply a cause of distress, therefore we should end all relationships. So it's true that material relationships are the cause of all distress, but the answer is not to become devoid of relationship, but to develop our spiritual relationship with Krishna and his devotees. It's true that in material life, this material bondage, it's simply a cause of great suffering and illusion. However, that same affection transferred to Krishna becomes the cause of liberation, enlightenment, and transcendental bliss. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is teaching us about the activities of liberated souls. Now, to many people, the idea of activities of liberated souls, it seems to be an oxymoron or a contradiction. They think that when you become liberated, you do nothing. You just stop all activities. It's true, you stop all material activities. But one on the spiritual platform, he becomes more active, spiritually. You see, people are so busy to fulfill their material desires, but then the nature of spiritual bliss is so much superior to that of material life, material so-called happiness, that a devotee is always very active in spiritual, here the word is given, vicheshtita, activities, spiritual activities for the satisfaction of Krishna, which are also concomitantly, simultaneously, the cause of great transcendental bliss to the devotee who performs such activities. Although a devotee is not actually interested in his own bliss, he's only interested in serving Krishna. But that comes automatically. But he's not a true devotee, doesn't perform activities thinking, oh, I will be happy. The example is given there in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu of Daruka, one of the servants of Krishna in Dwaraka, who was fanning Krishna, but then his body was becoming stunned in ecstasy. But then he thought, oh, I don't know, what is this useless ecstasy? I'm becoming stunned and I can't fan Krishna properly. I don't want this ecstasy, because I can't do my service properly. Of course, sometimes we see in the Bhagavatam, even the topmost of all these gopis, they were thinking, why Krishna's left us? Why, if you love us, why have you put us into this great distress? But the acharyas have explained, they weren't simply thinking of their own satisfaction. But their satisfaction was to satisfy Krishna. So it wasn't actually that they were prepared to accept any distress for the sake of pleasing Krishna. But they knew that Krishna himself cannot be happy without them. Therefore they wanted to be united with Krishna so that they could give him the pleasure that only, a certain kind of pleasure that only they could give him. So sometimes that is misunderstood. Because in the Bhagavatam itself, it's stated that the gopis approach Krishna with lust. The word is used, kama. So sometimes that's misunderstood to be like material lust. But it's not. That is the supposed lust of the gopis. That means kama. That means their very strong desire to satisfy Krishna. In this material world, is lust. It's a very strong, very powerful emotion, which, as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, it bewilders the intelligence, it overcomes the intelligence, so that one forgets what is his duty, what he should do and what he should not do. So that was true of the gopis also. Their lusty feelings for Krishna were so strong that they gave up all worldly duties of acting as proper wives, mothers, sisters, daughters, and simply ran to Krishna. So they were impelled by the very strong feeling to serve Krishna. So it's a misunderstanding to think that they were ordinary lusty people, like ordinary lusty girls of this material world. Otherwise, why would Krishna, who who is described in the Bhagavatam as Atmaram, one who is satisfied himself and in himself, and Aptakama, one whose all his desires are fulfilled, then why should he care to associate with the gopis? He didn't care to associate with the apsaras or the wives of the demigods, who are more beautiful than any women of this earthly planet. So if the gopis were simply ordinary girls of this earthly planet, then why should Krishna be interested? If he's God, then he wanted to enjoy something material, then he should have taken, there are so many famous apsaras, we just mentioned, Urvashi, there are so many others, Tilotama, Rambha, so many. But Krishna, he wasn't interested. You see, Narayan Rishi, who's also an incarnation, accepted as an incarnation of Krishna, that when Kamadev, material lust personified, wanted to bewilder him by bringing beautiful girls, then instead, Narayan Rishi, he looked at and saw all the beautiful girls brought by Cupid, brought by Kamadev, and instead from his own body, he produced so many more beautiful girls. So you have beautiful girls? I can make even more beautiful girls. Here, which one do you want? He said, I'm not attracted to all this. So Krishna cannot be attracted by anything material, but he's attracted to the love of his devotees. He's controlled by the love of his devotees. We see that also in the case of Arjuna, the Pandavas. Krishna could, why did he side with the Pandavas? He could have sided with the Kauravas. But he sided with the Pandavas because they were his devotees. Of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj was a very moral king, and he's known as Dharmaputra, the son of Dharma, morality personified. But Krishna is not, even though Krishna comes to establish Dharma, as Prabhupada has mentioned in this book, worldly morality in itself is not sufficient to satisfy Krishna. And even if someone is fully devoted to Krishna, then even if he's not fully to the standard of worldly morality, Krishna accepts his devotion. Ati chet sudaracharo bhajate mamananya bhav sadhureva samantavya samyavya sitavisa. Krishna says, even if someone is not fully moral, but he's fully engaged in my service, I accept him. Of course, after that, Krishna says that he will become morally situated. Not that he will, a devotee is by nature performing all kinds of immoral activities, but the point is that Krishna accepts someone not simply because he's Paramatma. He may become Shipram Bhavati Dharma. He may become Paramatma afterwards. He may become morally situated. That is not a precondition for serving Krishna. Krishna wants to see how much one is engaged in his service. And even if one may be very correct to the standard of worldly morality, that doesn't in and of itself satisfy Krishna. Although it's certainly better to be dharmic than adharmic. So Arjuna, he was, of course, he was also known as a very great moral person. But that wasn't the reason that Krishna was particularly attracted to him. But Krishna loved him. Why did Krishna love Arjuna? Because Arjuna loved him. It's a reciprocal relationship. That is natural. And it's natural that even though Arjuna was living with his brother, elder brother, with all his brothers, Yudhishthira, helping to oversee the ruling of the kingdom. It's not a small job to rule a great empire. So he was overseeing that at Hastinapur, but Krishna as an apparently subordinate prince at Dwaraka, who was their very great friend, so even though Krishna was an apparently subordinate prince at Dwaraka, He was the light of the Pandavas. So Arjuna went to see Krishna. Well, it might have been thought that Krishna, as a subordinate prince, he should have gone to Hastinapura. And he did. But Arjuna, he also went to see Krishna in Dwarka. As a friend may go to visit a friend, it's a natural thing. They like to see. They like to meet each other. There was no special occasion. When friends and relatives, they may meet on the occasion of a wedding or at some religious event, they all congregate together, just like all the famous and not famous personalities of the time assembled at Kurukshetra. This was chronologically previous to what is being narrated now. But they assembled at Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse, and at that time, Draupadi met with the queens of Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They met with Krishna. So on various occasions, friends and relatives, due to some social gathering or some religious gathering, they may come together. But here we see that Arjuna, he went to visit Krishna. There was no such particular social or religious reason, but just he wanted to see Krishna. That's all. He wanted to find out what is his next program, what's going on next. Because with Krishna there's always something exciting going on. It's never dull. He's always doing something interesting. Unfortunately, he came to find out that Krishna's next program was to leave the world, and he'd already done so. That was the shock that came to him. Krishna came for a particular purpose, to establish dharma. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayanta dushkrita. So he had annihilated the impious after the battle of Kurukshetra, and then still there were a few demons left here, and Ashwatthama was still at large, but he was subdued. He wasn't killed. He was subdued. He was withdrawn from his heinous activities. He went away to do penance. He was cursed to wander the earth without a friend. But even Ashwatthama, he was, after a long time, he will take the position of one of the of Vyas, and then as one of the Saptarshi. So he was subdued and put on the path of purification. So Krishna, what he had to do, he did. So he left. That wasn't very pleasing to the devotees. We see here how even the queens of Krishna, even Krishna would leave them by rising in the morning. They didn't like it. What to speak of the Vrajavasis when Krishna left? Practically they died. Their all activities were suspended in the absence of Krishna. But still they maintained their life thinking that Krishna may come back. He told us he would come back. So they were hoping for that. But here we see Krishna as well. You'll be, at least this will be narrated in the course of this chapter, how Krishna left the world. It's not a pleasing subject matter to devotees. Sometimes I hold Ishta Goshti's questions and answers, and for some reason they give the written question. They give the, please explain about the disappearance of Lord Nityananda. Please explain about the disappearance of Radharani. We don't answer such questions. And for one thing, our acharyas haven't explained. And it's not a palatable subject. We celebrate Janmashtami, the appearance of Krishna. But we don't celebrate, even though that is known, But you don't celebrate the disappearance of Krishna from this world. It's not considered very palatable. Of course, for Krishna, everything he does is transcendental. He's coming to this world, he's acting in this world, he's leaving this world. It's all transcendental. It's not that, as some people say, that, well, Ram, he shot Bali from behind and killed him. So Krishna also had to die in a similar way. He was shot by an incognito hunter. And as a result, he had to die. But Krishna enacts such pastimes deliberately, that is stated in the Bhagavatam, for the bewilderment of the demons. What to speak? Even his activities, muhyanti yat suryah, even the devas, they are bewildered as to the activities of Krishna. So what to speak of the demons? Krishna deliberately keeps them in ignorance about his pastimes. Therefore we'll find in Shastra such things as Krishna being cursed by Gandhari and so many things. And Krishna may apparently honor that curse, but we should know that Krishna is independent. He may apparently act as an ordinary person, but his doing so is for various reasons. One reason is that makes his pastimes very pleasing and accessible to the devotees. If Krishna was, just like we see Arjuna, he saw the Vishwarup of Krishna, but he wasn't very happy to see, he didn't like to see him. So how can you relate to the Vishwarup? But he could relate with Krishna in his two-handed form. So that is the kindness of Krishna. He makes himself accessible to his devotees by performing his human-like pastimes. So that's very pleasing to the devotees, and it also bewilders the atheists who anyway they don't believe in God. But if they think, well anyway, if there is God, he can't be like this. He can't be just like very friendly and be like a human being. But there's no such thing as he can't be. He can be, and he is everything. And he is especially more important than him being Vishwarup, or even being Vishvamba, maintainer of the universe, or Paramatma, the supreme living being. Even more important to Krishna himself is to be Yashodananda, the beloved child of Yashoda, or Krishna Sakha, the friend of Krishna. So in Krishna's estimation, being God, it's not such a, to him it's not so important as being the lover of his devotees. So this angle on God, this Bhagavatam gives this close-up view of God, closer than anyone can imagine. Just like in Britain they have the royal family who, when they come out, they're very formal and they perform ceremonies, but there's a whole gang of newspaper reporters whose only job in life is to try and get some inside information. What are they like in their work? How do they behave in private? So the private, how they're behaving, that's not meant for the public. That's their internal affair. So similarly, Krishna's pastimes, his intimate pastimes, they're not meant for everybody. They're not meant for the atheists and demons and skeptics. They're not even understandable to those who worship him with awe and reverence. Therefore, those who worship Krishna with awe and reverence, they misunderstand, just like the gopis, they misunderstand that how can God be dancing with village cowherd girls? They misunderstand. God is magnificent, noble. He is. But even more important than his magnificence and his nobility is his loving propensity, his propensity to love. If God is simply all-powerful and to be worshipped in an all-opulent manner, then where's the question of loving him? Well, that love, it's can't be very intimate love. You can't really love very much someone who just totally dominates you. That's why the science of loving relationships has been described in a mundane way by Bharat Muni. One Muni, they all have different. He's describing what a loving relationship. But actually, because relationships in this material world are a perverted reflection of the original loving relationships in the spiritual world, therefore, we find that Rupa Goswami, in his description of Ras, he has the book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it's a description of Bhakti Ras, or loving feelings on the liberated platform. So he also draws from the descriptions of Bharat Muni, who describes the Natya Shastra, or the science of drama. So there are different kinds of lovers, right, both male lovers and female lovers, and different characteristics. But one who simply dominates the other, or is dominated by the other, that's not considered the highest level of loving dealings. The best nayika or female lover is one who is sometimes subordinate, sometimes argues, but is always very attached. So out of loving exchange, she will also sometimes argue, or sometimes the nayak, the lover, the male lover, he becomes subordinate to the wife or lover. Like, so all this is described. How simply to dominate, then it's not a very high standard of love, as compared to that standard of love in which the controller or the ruler or the master, out of love, he becomes subordinate to those who love him. So this is the standard of Raja Bhakti, which is that is particularly the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna also became subordinate to Arjuna. We find in Bhagavad Gita Arjuna ordering Krishna, Senaya Rubhaya Madhye Ratam Sthapya Me Chuta. Achuta, take my chariot. Because Krishna has become the chariot driver, so Arjuna has to give orders. Take my chariot and place it in the middle of the two armies. He's giving orders to. So out of love, Krishna has accepted that position. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam is especially concerned with Ras. It's a book of knowledge, Tattva-gyan, Bhagavat Tattva-gyan. But knowledge ultimately accumulates in Tatrinvatam Rasa-gyanam, Rasa-gyanam, knowledge of Rasa. Ayantuna Vitrityama Uttama Shloka Vikrame Tatshingatam Rasagyanam Swadu Swadu Padevade. The sages said that we are not becoming bored by hearing these descriptions. We are not becoming tired by hearing the description of the wonderful pastimes of Uttama Shloka. In this verse, he is described as Punya Shloka. Uttama Shloka means who is described by the topmost verses in the Vedic literature. And Punya Shloka means who is described by the pious verses in the Vedic literature. And Uttama Shloka Vikrama, here is given Vicheshita, the activities. So same thing is given Vikram, the wonderful activities. He who performs wonderful activities. So the sages said, we're not becoming tired by hearing the wonderful activities of Krishna. Because by hearing them, we are tasting at every step, at every moment, the wonderful rasa, bhakti rasa, getting knowledge, rasa jnana. So Bhagavatam is a book of knowledge that ultimately comes to the point of understanding rasa. Rasa means the loving feeling in exchange between devotees. Rupa Goswami has elaborately analyzed this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What are the different loving exchanges of the devotees with Krishna? So Srimad Bhagavatam is such that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets knowledge of rasa, the bhakti rasa, which is the ultimate achievement of all knowledge. All Vedic knowledge is meant for this. What is that verse? Sarva Veda Yat Param Amananti. The Upanishads say that all the Vedas are meant for understanding one particular point. What is that particular point? To understand Krishna and to enter into loving dealings. Even understanding Krishna, that is in and of itself, that is the step as more than simply understanding Krishna. After understanding Krishna, then that's stated in Bhagavad Gita, that Aham sarvasya prabhava matas sarvam prabhava iti matva ajantema buddha bhavasa. And having understood Krishna to be all-powerful, source of everything, that one worships Him. Intelligent people worship Him with loving feelings, bhavasamana, loving feelings for Krishna. So that is the result of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, yasyam vaishuramana anam krishna paramapurusha bhakti utpadyate pumsam shokamohamana. Prabhupada translates this, that by hearing this Bhagavatam, automatically lamentation, illusion, lamentation are all overcome, and one's loving feelings for Krishna develop. So hearing Bhagavatam, we hear about the loving feelings of the devotees for Krishna, and by hearing Bhagavatam, the natural result of hearing will be that our loving feelings for Krishna will also develop. So this is the goal of life, to develop our loving feelings for Krishna. In this chapter we will hear how Arjuna and Yudhishthira, who are highly advanced in loving Krishna, their eternal associates of Krishna, how they take the news of Krishna's departure, and by hearing about their attachment to Krishna, we can also develop our own attachment for Krishna, following their footsteps in that way. Hare Krishna.